Angler Chronicles presents Radio Outdoor Expeditions.
Good morning, Southern California. From Joshua Tree to Dutch Harbor, from the Canadian wilderness to the Amazon jungle, buckle up because it's going to be wall-to-wall action on Radio Outdoor Expeditions.
Radio Outdoor Expeditions is brought to you by Owner Hooks, perfection in hooks, Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's fishing, hunting, and shooting headquarters since 1971. On Target Shooting Range, Bass Knuckles Clothing, and Bite On Fishing, where your next catch is only a cast away. Good morning, Southern California, and welcome to Angler Chronicles on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. Boy, I'm fired up today, so I hope everybody's got some coffee in their hands. Grab a donut, grab a bar, whatever you're eating, and let's get this show on the road, okay? This is Sergio. I'm in a happy place right now, but I'll tell you about that in a second. But I need to go and introduce you to the crew. I've got over there, all the way on the port side, Ron Hobbs from the Owner Hooks Fishing Schools. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Southern California.
And then right next to him, trying to hog the stern, is none other than Captain Larry. I almost called you Larry Bird. Larry Moore. Good morning, Larry.
You guys, I hope you're on your way to go fishing right now, or maybe you're standing at the rail with a rod in your hands already.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, too. Just grab that app on your phone and listen to us through some headphones, okay? But let me go right next to my freshwater friend and the man who spends a lot of time with me during the week, Tony Williams from Bite On. How are you, Tony?
Doing good, guys. Good morning, everyone. We're looking forward to talking to you today.
And then rounding up the crew, the youngster, the one and only, the one with the fresh blood. That is a little man. He's a little man. He's actually taller than me, but he's a little man. Jimmy Bass, good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, everyone. We got a fantastic show for you. It's time to wake up with Angler Chronicles.
Look at that. You got to buy him a boat. I love this. Okay? All right. And we have a very special guest with us, a very dear personal friend, a brother in Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, William Johnson from Lake Elsinore, from Williams Bait, Tackle, and Boat Rentals. Good morning.
Good morning, SC, and all you anglers out there.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, the guys, I'm really excited because a dear friend of Larry's, okay? Let's go ahead and cue him in. That's Frank from San Clemente. A very, very notable catch. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to hear from you guys.
I bet. I heard and I saw. So I'm going to let you and Larry take it on from here.
Frank, I passed your picture around the studio here, and we're all dying of fisherman envy.
And oh, man, I just got real lucky. Anybody could have caught that one. I mean, you're just in the right place at the right time, and, boy, it was sure my day. I've been trying for that fish for 20-something years now, and it just finally happened.
Okay, well, okay. Before we go too far, I think it's time that we say what it is that you caught.
Well, I caught a 58.1-pound halibut.
Okay, let's stop there.
That's a California halibut.
58.21 California halibut. Let me tell you the reason, you know, I said I was really happy and on fire this morning is because I'm actually not here today either, okay, because I'm in Alaska. I'm in Point Baker, Alaska, and although I will more than likely catch a halibut bigger than yours, it doesn't compare because that's a Pacific halibut. And you caught a California halibut. If I'm not mistaken, the world record's at 66 pounds, right around there?
67.
67 pounds. So catching a 58-pounder on our local waters here is quite a feat. So I want to say congratulations to you. And you're right. It's a fish we all wait a lifetime for.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, guys.
Okay. So I'm not going to let you get out that easy, okay? I want you to share with our listeners, okay? I know you're from San Clemente, correct, Frank?
Right.
Okay, but where did you go fishing?
I went on the Mirage out of Cisco's Landing.
That's in Oxnard. Oxnard. Right. So you made the trek all the way from San Clemente?
I made the trek from San Clemente. It was a good karma trip because a dear friend was thanking me for taking care of his mom, and he gave me a free trip. So it was it was a real honor to be over there. And, you know, he'd been telling me he's going to take me fishing for a long time. And finally I said, hey, let's go up and do this thing. I got a spot for you. And there we went. So we drove up and carpooled, and we had a magical ride up because we had no traffic, which is pretty unbelievable going all the way up there. And then, it just went, got better and better from there.
Well, let me just ask you, do me a huge favor. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got this 58.21 California.
58.1. I got it correct. 58.1.
58.1 California halibut on a free trip.
Right.
Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to get in your car right now, and I want you to go to Vegas. Okay.
Exactly.
Now I want you to put all your money.
Don't say that to Frank. He'll do it.
Okay. Because you got a good thing going here. Okay. Catch what I would think the halibut of a lifetime for California standards on a free trip. You know, that is fantastic. So you're on the Mirage. It's a fantastic boat. What island did you fish?
Santa Rosa Island.
Oh, that's the good one.
Okay. Yeah. What? Now, Sergio, I think the target species, they've been killing the white sea bass up there.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys catch any white sea bass on this particular trip?
You know, it was funny that you asked, because we literally had trips right before that. I was ready to throw in the towel and get my rods ready for the wood chipper, because I went up there the week before to fish on another boat, and they got full limits for every boat the day before, and the day I got there, we didn't catch a single one, and the whole fleet caught like five.
Mm-hmm.
So there went my luck for that trip. And then they had full limits, and it had gone up to the three-fish limit the day before I went out, so Wednesday. And then we got out there, and by 9:30, we had like three fish on the boat, and it was looking like it wasn't going to happen, and we were going to go start fishing rockfish. I thought, boy, did I bring some bad luck up here. So it seemed like I shut down the whole bite. But I did manage to catch one out of the 14 white sea bass for the boat, which basically was a nice feeling, because that was my first sea bass of the year. And now the pressure's off for me. So I had a lot of those trips where I should have been here yesterday. Oh, they bit in the morning, you were here at night. And so 6, 7, 8 of those trips. And I was pretty frustrated with it. But
well, that just goes,
to get the sea bass.
Uh-huh.
And then they said, hey, you know what, 15 minutes, we're going to go fish for rockfish, because this doesn't look like it's happening today. And boom, there was that one bite that felt like I got stuck in a reef or something, and then it started to move.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, that's what it takes, okay? It takes time on the water, okay? Don't ever judge the local fishing on one day. I guess you're proof of that. Okay, you just got to put in your time. You put in your time, you'll get your reward. Agreed?
Right, absolutely. I mean, and I definitely put in my time. And the one thing that I did not listen to the crew, although they were absolutely awesome and fantastic about everything, was they said, hey, guys, these fish are running pretty small, so make sure you just only fish the 20, 25, maximum of 30-pound fluorocarbon leaders. I said, you know what? I'm not fishing for those fish. I'm fishing for what might be the big one. So I always go a little bit bigger and a little heavier than I normally should, but I'm trying for the big fish. I mean, I can catch little fish all day here and there, and you know, it's the one big one that I don't want to get away. So that's what I was after.
Well, Frank, I'll tell you, you're talking to the right guy. Everybody in this studio makes fun of me too, but I fish calico bass with 50-pound, to give you an idea. Okay.
Wow.
I use 50-pound braid, and then I use a very, very short leader of 50-pound fluorocarbon. And I get bit just as well as everybody else, but I guarantee you, I get one of those big white sea bass or whatever wants to attack it, I'm going to land that fish.
Okay? Monoman's just going to sit over here in the corner and be quiet, okay?
That's right. that's what you're here for.
I think Frank's probably actually the guy
you
that
have
nicknamed
fantastic,
me.
I'm telling you, Larry, you have fantastic radio face, okay? You're just the perfect radio face. So go in the corner and look pretty, okay? No, but Frank, listen, fantastic catch. But one of the things that we like to do on our show is we want to share with our listeners, you know, what technique you used, how you were rigged, what bait did you use, and share with that slowly so our listeners can understand how you caught this fish.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm happy to help. I like to use braided line. I've kind of gotten away from monofilament just because I feel like I can really feel what's going on. And I used to have a pretty big problem with the braid digging into my fingers. You know, I got a day job that needs me to use my hands and stuff. So, you know, I just try to get the softest braid. You know, some of those, I like the Dyneema type braid that doesn't dig in and doesn't tear. So it doesn't cut kelp quite as well, but I feel like I really get kind of the best of both worlds. I get the strength, but I also get it to where, you know, it feels a little more like mono. So if you're trying to make the transitions a little bit easier. And I had a hard time shaking fishing with mono. It was really more comfortable. It was easier to cast and all that stuff. But once you get used to it, I felt like it was a big difference. But I rigged with a three-way swivel. And I don't like the ones that are ones that have, like, the brass ring. I like the ones that are two swivels locked into each other where I just know with two barrel swivels they're not going to come apart and they're not going to break. And I had a 16-ounce weight on a dropper loop and 40-pound fluorocarbon leader. But the one thing that honestly I think makes the biggest difference is that I don't like the Aki for the sea bass and yellowtail and stuff. I like it to twist and dig in. I like that Aki twist hook. I had a 7-0 mm-hmm. Aki twist.
Right.
And I think that's what made it to where this fish held on, because when it got
yeah,
to
and
the boat,
let me stop you there. That's the Owner Hooks Aki twist, correct?
That's the one.
Were you using a 7-0 or a 6-0?
I used a 7-0. I was going to go 8-0, which is my usual favorite, but mm-hmm. You know, the squid that I was using, they had big squid there, and that's we were using live squid pretty much entirely. But I just felt like a wise man told me one time to match the size of your bait, not the size of your fish. And so I went ahead and we had a medium-sized squid that day, so I used a little bit smaller hook than I normally use, where I usually use the 8-0 Aki twist. And I think that's what made the difference. I think that fish, it got into that corner. It was perfectly, perfectly, perfectly hooked in the corner of the mouth. And when it got to the boat and it started doing that shaky thing where it starts doing the wave and coughing up squid, like, you know, what usually happens to me. Yeah, what usually happens to me is
that
you get
makes
that
me
one,
quiver.
It makes your heart jump up in your throat, and you get that feeling where, you know, they usually pull the hook right there, and they sit there for about 5 seconds right under gaff range, and then just slowly float out, and you can't do anything about it. But this time, you know, again, it was my day, and I think it was the right hook. It really held on, and, you know, it didn't fall out as soon as the fish hit the deck. We had to take pliers and pull it out. So that thing was buried in there right in the corner, and I'm a believer. I think that made all the difference.
All right, and you know what? You're talking to a fanatic. All of us are fanatics of Owner Hooks, and that just tells the story why, you know. And so I just want to let's bring it all back together. You were using braided line to a three-way swivel, okay?
Right.
And then how far was the weight from the hook?
It was 4 feet.
4 feet. Okay.
It was 4 feet. Well, yeah, just around chest high. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I heard from the crew is those halibut in that area are not afraid to come up 3-4 feet off the bottom.
And that's what I wanted to point out. That's why I asked you that question. You know, folks, you know, when you go white sea bass fishing, we always want to have a long leader. Get that hook, get that bait away from the bottom, so you try to avoid all the bat rays that are there, okay? There's a lot of bat rays. There's a lot of other little fish that just pick at your bait until you're finally gone. So you're trying to lift that bait off the bottom. Now, I usually go about 5 feet, but 4 is good. And just like you said, if the bait is well presented, those halibut will come up and take on it. Okay, Frank, thank you so much for sharing this story with us. We're going to get you a little package out of some Owner goodies, okay?
Hey, I appreciate it.
All right, so we'll get you out a good packet. And congratulations on that unbelievable
fish
catch.
Of a lifetime.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks very much. Coming from you guys, that's a big honor. I really appreciate it.
All right, Frank, where to go? Okay, you're on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. This is Angler Chronicles Radio. We'll be right back. Come on.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Come check out the largest indoor shooting range in all of Orange County.
On Target. Certified distributors for Glock, Wilson Combat, Springfield, Sig Sauer, CZ, Mossberg, Remington, Ruger, and Beretta. 20 lanes open 7 days a week. Serving Orange County for 18 years. Conveniently located off the 5 freeway in Laguna Niguel. Classes of all kinds, including firearm selection, home defense, and women's personal safety. All NRA certified instructors. Great for corporate fun shoots, team buildings, birthdays, bachelor and bachelorette parties. Folks of all ages and types, from scout troops to law enforcement to government agencies, love On Target. For more information, go to OnTargetRange.com. That's OnTargetRange.com. Or call 949-348-0352. That's 949-348-0352.
Hi, everybody. This is Ronnie Kovac, and I'm here with longtime friend and a great partner on our show, Danny Strunk with 22nd Street Landing. Danny, what's going on this summer at 22nd Street? What do you guys got cooking for it?
Well, Ronnie, we have our Wednesday special. Every Wednesday, we have the half, three-quarter day Monte Carlo Pursuit, as well as the Freedom, doing a manager special from 22nd Street Landing. You want to save some money this summer, come on down and fish with us on Wednesdays. We have new management that's taken over the tackle store, a fully stocked tackle store for every need that you might have sport fishing this summer with us.
You've got rental rods there, you've got food, you've got lots of lures and tackle. It's pretty much a complete one-stop tackle store. You can even buy a gunny sack if you need it, right?
Exactly.
What about the website?
Our website is www.22ndstreet.com, or you can give us a call on our phone for reservation or any information you might have at area code 310-832-8304.
Where are you located, bro?
We are in San Pedro, California, 141 West 22nd Street, conveniently located right off the 110 freeway.
And give us the names of some of those great legendary boats at 22nd Street Landing in San Pedro, Danny.
We have the Monte Carlo, the Pursuit, the Sea Angler, the Freedom.
Captain Danny Strunk from 22nd Street Landing in San Pedro. Thanks, Danny. Tight lines.
Bass Knuckles Clothing will put the wow in your fishing wardrobe. With designs so nice, you'll want to wear them on and off the water. Bass Knuckles t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, button-ups, and hats are the highest quality on the market. Made from 100% cotton, double-stitched, and pre-shrunk, these shirts are ready to take on life, on or off the water. Tagless design for comfort and finished with Bass Knuckles signature embroidered patch, you're sure to turn heads. Check out Bass Knuckles clothing at bassknuckles.com and also coming soon to a retailer near you. Ask your local tackle and clothing retailers if they carry Bass Knuckles clothing by name. With over 20 designs to choose from, we have something for everyone. So go to bassknuckles.com today to get the hottest fishing clothing anywhere.
I am a heroic angler. I can bait a hook with my eyes closed, cast to a spot the size of a dime, and reel in the biggest monsters of the depths. And not only do I make sure everyone on my boat wears a life jacket, I make sure we're saving water. Because every drop we save means more water for our fish. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for a fish, except kiss one. Well, there was that one time, but I don't kiss and tell.
Take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Welcome back, everybody, to Angler Chronicles Radio on AM 830 KLAA. And I'm surrounded today by the crew of Ron Hobbs, Larry Moore, Tony Williams, Jimmy Bass, and our dear friend and guest for today is William Johnson from Williams Bait Tackle and Boat Rentals. Boy, I'm good today. I'm really good. I get this thing. You guys are doing all these tongue twisters, and I'm getting over the hurdles. Anyway, so listen, we just had a fantastic first segment talking about a very, very large halibut. It's a California halibut at 58.1 pounds. Guys, that's a big one. I don't think I've ever caught, I know I haven't caught a halibut of that size in the California species. So what I'm going to do, and I think this is a good thing, let's go around the room here and yeah, just share with our listeners your biggest halibut, how you caught it, and where you caught it. So, Ron, let's start with you.
Well, mine was aboard the Native Son. I believe you were there, Sergio, and yep. I was using a owner lead head that happened to have been painted Sir Truce.
Surge Truce.
Yeah. Did I really just hear
that's
that?
A color. That's a color.
That's the color.
Okay. We've actually come up with our own color. It's called Surge Truce.
We
get
named
up on
it.
Wikipedia.
That's not in any dictionary, trust me. But we were fishing for calico or sand bass on the bottom, and I was lucky enough to hook a 20-pounder.
Yeah. And it was a really, really nice fish, very, very lively coming up.
And we had, okay. had a follower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very typical. So, I remember that day. It was great. Yep. Larry, can you beat 20?
Now, okay, my largest halibut that I've caught was, I was pretty young. I was about 12 years old, and mm-hmm. my dad took me out on the old Sport Fisher on a Twilight. Mm-hmm. And this is before Donnie Brockman had it.
Oh, before? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was with... Les Roberts, who was his father-in-law, and Don McLean, they were the captain and deckhand. But
was
they
that
were both
just when water was invented?
Just after that, yeah. Okay. And we were on a Twilight trip, and everybody around me was getting bit. Sand bass were biting, and I couldn't catch one to save my soul. And finally, I think I'm bit, and I go to swing on it, and now I'm convinced I'm stuck on the bottom, and now I'm like a 12-year-old kid that's had enough. And I grab my line, I set my rod at the rail, and I grab my line, and I start pulling, and it starts coming up. And I'm like, oh, and I got like 15 feet of line on the deck. And I grab it, and I start winding that line in, and I'm like, oh, man, I keep bringing it up. And, it's dark, it's twilight, and you got the beam of the lights. And all of a sudden, here comes this halibut. And remember Mark that used to work with Donnie for a long time, his deckhand?
Which Mark?
Japanese Mark.
Okay.
And he's
Yokohama?
Something like that, yeah. Some of you guys probably know who I'm talking about because he was around for so long. He gaffed that fish, and it lit up and almost jerked him right over the side.
Wow.
And he brought that up 32 pounds on 12-pound test.
Very nice. 12-pound test, that's not.
Yeah. Wow. I've caught several in the 20, 25-pound range since, but that's still my biggest, 12 years old.
Nice
perfect.
Fish.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, Tony, I know you're a freshwater guy, but have you caught a halibut yet?
I haven't caught a halibut. It's one on my bucket list to check off. I know that during the months of June, July, and August, it seems like the bigger ones are coming out from all the fish reports. So I'm really interested in catching and seeing. I like hearing the hookups and what you guys are catching it on. What hooks to use and how the setup is with braid line. I'm really excited about going out and catching some big halibut and then enjoying a nice fillet or two.
Yeah, we're definitely going to take you out there and get you going. William, I know you dabble in saltwater as well. So.
Oh, yes. I'm a East Coast boy fishing out of the Chesapeake Bay practically all my life. But when I moved here to California about, I'll say 18 years ago, I used to frequently go down to Dana Point Harbor and fish out of the harbor. I mean, I catch threshers. Back then, I believe even the white sea bass was doing okay right there in the harbor. But I used to go on the inside, right by the bait barge, toss a red jig head, about 3/8 ounce, on a watermelon fluke. And every now and then, I'd get a couple really nice hits. Well, I threw that fluke out there this one time, and man, I just got boom loaded up on. I pulled it in. It was about an 18-pound halibut right there out of the Dana Point Harbor.
That's pretty nice. Good. Yeah, that's pretty good. In fact, Tony, Dana Point Harbor. But remember when we did the film with Captain James Nelson?
Oh yeah.
Remember we were coming in, and I'm one of those. We were coming in for lunch, okay? And I'm one of those who loves to put a bait in the back, and I'm trolling this little bait, and it was a mm-hmm. big, huge Norman, okay, the 22, the DD-22, and it was skipping. I could see he was skipping the bottom and taking out. And I'm just going, oh, this is going to get bit. All of a sudden, boom, bam. Bzz, it's mm-hmm. going. I'm going, stop the boat.
It's running.
And we could not stop him, mm-hmm. and I was about to get spooled, and that's a lot of braid out there, so I said, you know what? Let me just button it down. I buttoned it down, and James couldn't. We couldn't get that boat. It slowed down. We were coming right into the slip, and we lost the fish. But
something
I guarantee
big.
You, well, that was by the way it hit, the way
is
it
that
ran.
A typical bite for
that's
a halibut.
A typical halibut yeah. bite. It was not a bat ray. So yeah, I know what you mean when you say, yeah, in the bays, yeah, it's a very good place to do it. Jimmy, how about you?
My personal best I caught 2 years ago next month. It was aboard the Pacific Islander at a Cisco's, and the white sea bass were biting a little bit, and also the big halibut. And it was in July. We were fishing Beecher's Bay at Santa Rosa Island. Very, very good spot for the big halibut. And we started off the morning. The sea bass really weren't biting, and I started off on the the high dropper loop, the 5-6 foot off the bottom. And there was only one white sea bass caught, and I noticed some halibut were being caught on the reverse dropper loop.
Right.
So I wasn't getting bit on the high dropper loop, so I decided to switch over to that. And we were on the anchor, and I was casting and dragging, and we were fishing. I was pinning live squid. I was casting and dragging. I even tried the lead head, tried to bounce it, maybe bought one on the head, and nothing. And the captain, Steve Virtue, a good friend of mine, came over and said, "Look at Jimmy, man. He's really got some intense concentration." And then he said, "Maybe you're trying too hard." Just as he said that, he said, "Okay, guys, you know what? Let's try a drift." So we try a drift. I line up on the port side, drop my reverse dropper loop down, and it's down there 10 minutes, and I just decide not move it at all. I just kept it perfectly still. The drift wasn't too fast, but I just kept it perfectly still. 10 minutes go by, the rod tip starts to bounce, and I get a thump, and I wait. I wind down. I set the hook. And it's on, and I know this is a big halibut. And I was fishing 30-pound test, back the drag off a little, for its head shakes, wound it up, and the fish was 33 pounds, 4 ounces. Wow.
Beautiful fish.
Oh, he
beautiful.
Got me, Sergio. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I love your story, but I want you to explain two things for some of our listeners. Number one, what is a reverse dropper loop?
A reverse dropper loop is you tie the dropper loop knot, and you tie it a little bit, you tie it shorter than you would if you were slipping the hook on it, and you'd slip about a 4 to 6 ounce torpedo sinker into that loop, but when you tie the dropper loop, you leave a long end, and you tie the hook on the end of the line, and it varies it. It's all personal preference. I like it about maybe 2 or 3 feet sometimes.
Okay, well, I'll make it a little bit. Let me just say it this way. Okay, dropper loop, look it up, folks. It's hard for me to explain to you what a dropper loop is without you seeing the pictures. If you know what a dropper loop is, a regular one, that means the weight's on the bottom on the long piece, and the hook is on the shorter part of the loop, okay? What a reverse dropper loop is, the weight goes on the shorter end on the loop, and your hook goes on the longer line, okay? More and more, though, however, I've seen some great techniques. My friend Tiny, we call him Tiny, Dave, he fishes on the Enterprise, and they
ought to be registered as a deadly weapon, Sergio.
Yeah. So what they do is they actually have both leaders approximately the same size. So you put the hook on one end, then you have the weight on the other. But the reverse dropper loop technically means it's reverse of the normal. The normal would be the weight on the bottom, hook on top. This would be, it's the opposite. Weight on the top, hook on the bottom. So that's fantastic. And then explain what a drift is. What do they mean by drift?
Well, the captain will set up the boat having one side of the boat.
Yeah, I'll make it easier.
Okay.
It's not anchored. Okay. I should have just asked you, Captain Larry Moore. Okay, bottom line, to make it simple for everybody, when you're anchored, okay, and Larry, why don't you explain the difference between being anchored and being non-anchored and what happens?
Okay, so what you're doing when you're anchored on these spots is you go up in the conditions, usually upwind of the spot, and you drop your anchor and you let the boat settle back to the spot. But what you're doing for these halibut is that you're going upwind, typically, of the area that you want to cover, and you stop the boat, and the boat will go sideways to the wind, and it'll drift across that area that you know the halibut typically hang out in, and you get most of your passengers on the windy side of the boat.
So the wind in your face, is good. Wind in your back, empty sack. Okay, that's the way that, that goes. So you definitely, guys, if you're on a drift, you hear the captain saying you're on a drift, he's going to tell you port or starboard, okay? Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Go with it. There's a reason, okay? It's like tuna fishing, adrift. Thank you. That was pretty good. You're in the lead so far, okay? We'll be right back. And we'll have to cut you down to size, youngster. Okay, this is Angler Chronicles Radio on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. We'll be right back.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Flying out of LAX on your next trip? Then park at the parking spot. Our yellow and black spotted shuttles whisk you right to the front door of your airline terminal. Nothing could be easier or a better value. You'll even earn credit for free parking in the Spot Club. The parking spot has two convenient locations just minutes from LAX Airport. For directions and more information, visit theparkingspot.com. The Parking Spot. We have airport parking covered.
Hi, I'm Tony Shitanishi from Owner Hooks, and I want to talk to you about one of our new 2012 products, Jig Rig, the hottest terminal fishing product for 2012. The Jig Rig is comprised of an offset hook with a welded ring through its eyes, and on the welded ring is a split ring attached to a slim profile weight. The Jig Rig is unique because, unlike other jigs, the hook moves independent of the weight. This helps to achieve greater bait action, and when fighting fish, the pull is coming directly through the solid ring to the hook, with the weight off to the side. So, unlike traditional jigs, the fish can't use the Jig Rig's weight to leverage the hook out of its mouth. With the weight leading the way, the compact profile of this rig allows for longer and more accurate casts. Weights can easily be removed and added to the split ring without retying line or re-rigging bait. Jig Rig is available with lead or tungsten weights, and owners Yuki Bug and JR Minnow are the perfect baits for the Jig Rig. Jig Rig was designed for largemouth bass fishing, but will work on many saltwater inshore species like calico and sand bass. For further illustrations, videos, and instructions, please visit www.ownerhooks.com. Hey, good luck out there this season.
Dana Wharf Sport Fishing in Dana Point Harbor. Come check them out. Trips for anglers of all levels depart daily and kids fish free every Sunday. Enjoy clean vessels, full galleys, and friendly expert captains and crew. Everything you need for a great day of fishing for everyone, including a fleet of private charters. The Dana Wharf Kids Club is the coolest club of the sea, featuring free fishing trips, whale-watching adventures, and more. Check them out on the web for daily deals, including the famous Half Price Tuesday. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, number one angler's choice since 1971. That's Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching, located at 34675 Golden Lantern in Dana Point. You can contact them by phone at 949-496-5794 or on the web at danawharf.com. Daily adventures, lifelong memories, established 1971. Stay connected and follow them on Facebook and Twitter.
Angels Radio,
AM 830.
Welcome back, everybody, to Angler Chronicles on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. And you know what? I think I'm going to let you do this. I'm getting tongue twisted. Too many A's. Angler Chronicles, Angels Radio, KLAA. Too many. But anyway, you know, we've been talking about halibut and our notable catches. And I just want to let everybody know that right now, Ron and Danny, my dear friend Danny, the sheriff, and let's see, we've got our friend Robert. And I have my another good friend, Captain Jack Lester, and myself. Right now, we're probably catching our own halibuts. But these are Pacific halibut because we're in Point Baker, Alaska, with our friend Rob Searing at the Walksoff Lodge. And I'm going to definitely beat your 33-pounder. But I want to ask Danny, good morning. Oh, Danny's not there yet. Okay, see, he's not awake yet.
Now, I want to make sure that this is a California halibut.
Correct. No. Okay. We'll talk about the California halibut. But I want to say good morning to the sheriff. Good morning, Sheriff.
Well, good morning to the A-team.
Yeah. You know, Danny, we've been talking in the first segment. We had a gentleman, his name is Frank from San Clemente, who just caught a 58.1-pound California halibut. And the record stands at 67, so it's a notable catch. And we were all sharing across around the table here, you know, who, our biggest halibut, California. And I got to ask you, you've been fishing for a long time. So here's what you got to participate in. What is your biggest halibut, and how did you catch him?
Well, you know, that's I got to tell you the truth. I have caught very few halibut in my lifetime.
You and me both.
I have caught a lot of them on videotape, okay? And you know what? Let me tell you why. And nothing against the halibut or the halibut fishermen. I love to eat halibut. They're a beautiful fish also to video. But the method you would use to catch halibut are just not – it's just not my cup of tea. You know me, I'm a chuck and line guy. I want to fire the iron. And halibut is a little different ball game. It's a lot of drifting, a lot of bottom, you know, scraping along the bottom, and a lot of patience involved. But and that's why I have not caught a lot of halibut myself. But what is the biggest one? Probably, you know, not very big, probably barely legal nowadays. I just haven't caught a lot of them. I wish I could say, hey, 30, 40, 50 pounds, but no, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So,
however, right now, you and me, and like I said, everybody else in the crew, we're sitting there at off Point good. Baker. I mean, you remember that day? We're going to reminisce on this. We went to Point Baker, Alaska, with Danny before. We've been to Waxoff before. And, you know, Rob wanted to show us some of these islands, the beautiful islands all the way around. And he was explaining why the logs wash up on the shore. And we got really, really shallow. Okay.
Yeah.
And a naysayer on the boat.
Yes.
Right. Said,
yes.
I can't believe you're going to throw something out. You're not going to catch anything. You know,
yeah.
I said, no, I'll catch something. He goes, you're only in 20 feet of water. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Very well. Yeah, okay. You bet.
And yeah. So he, and this is rare because if I had a line in the water, chances are this individual, I'll reveal the name, would have a line on the water as well.
Yeah.
And then it was almost instant, remember?
Yes.
I got to the bottom, just barely lifted the rod. It was about 50 pounds?
It was right around 50. Uh-huh. And you know, normally, let's face it. Normally, when you can see the bottom, you're not going to catch a fish on the bottom. No, the old saying I've always heard of: if you can see the fish, they can see you. But you know, a halibut, of course, he's just laying down there, and he's buried himself in sand, and he's not worried about anything. But you got that really nice 50 pounder. And you know, your question, I thought though, was California.
No, yeah. I was just saying we were reminiscing. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, you know, and we'll reveal it, our dear friend, now long gone,
yes.
Ronnie Kovac. And, but, you know, Ronnie loved to compete with me constantly. I used to hate it.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Personally, it's not my cup of tea, but it was always competition.
Yeah.
And, gosh, he got so mad that day.
And
50, I'll tell you what, a 50-pound halibut in Alaska, they're still considered a chicken, right?
Well, they are up to, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 pounds. I have caught them up there 30 or 40 pounds out of Sitka, I know, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But California halibut, no. It's really not been my cup of tea. I love to see them caught, love to eat halibut. But no, I've never really targeted halibut very few times in my lifetime. So,
all right, yeah. Well, listen, talking about stuff to eat,
yes.
You love to eat halibut, but I don't partake of any of the ocean dwelling species, but I do like what dwells upon the earth.
Yes.
And in trees, okay, and they
yes.
have little wings.
And you're leading up to
I'm not going to steal your thunder. Could
okay.
you please tell us what's on the show this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning 9:30, Fox Sports West, a brand new episode. And this is the one we shot here about a month ago in Imperial Valley with Mendel at Woodlands Hunt Club. Of course, Greg and Brent Boslog and Tony Ron and Larry, all the boys were there. It was excellent dove hunting, and I'll cut to the chase here. The title of this episode is Dove Dynasty. Not to be confused, everybody, with Duck Dynasty, okay? It has nothing to do with that.
And it's not the name of our show. It's just the name of the episode.
It's just the episode, Dove Dynasty, but it's a lot of action. And, you know, I learned a lot about dove hunting, not only by going out there with the pros, but also been putting this episode together. You know, I had to do some internet research on the what's called the Eurasian collared doves. It's really the official name, Eurasian collared doves. And the fish and wildlife now have them wide open since last year. There's no limit and no season on them. They want them taken. And they're a beautiful dove. They're very good to eat and a lot of fun. And so I learned a lot about that. And interestingly, Serge, you got on your first shot on that trip, you got a dove. Just like when we went pheasant hunting a couple of months ago, you got, with your first shot, you got a pheasant. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's really a good episode. I mean, an exciting episode, a lot of action. Dove Dynasty, don't miss it, tomorrow morning, 9:30. And then, of course, 3 p.m. Tuesday afternoons on Fox Sports West.
Hey, thank you so much, Danny, the sheriff. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I couldn't do this without you. And okay. It's just a pleasure. It's just a pleasure. You know, we're getting on all these adventures. And like I said, folks, I actually got Danny on a boat. We're out there. And would you say those were fjords? Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off Point Baker. And
Inside Passage is called.
Passages.
And yes.
Hopefully we're not getting too wet, huh?
I don't think. I think we're going to have a great time.
Yeah. So anyway.
We'll have some good reports for everyone.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Danny. Have a great weekend. And actually, you will have a great weekend because you're with me.
Oh, okay? Yeah. I can't miss.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, guys. See ya. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. I am really looking forward to this this episode. It was a lot of fun. I will tell you this, and I want the whole crew to heed my warning. My first two shots were on target. And don't misbehave. Okay, don't misbehave. Anyway, look, that was a lot of fun, and
yeah.
You know, we actually caught some fish on that one too. There'll be a lot of stuff to look into this episode. We use a brand new line of guns, Benelli's, and if anybody knows me and knows that I like to use very, very light rods, not light as far as line capacity, but light as far as weight. So I'm a big, just the lighter the better. That's why I've gone with Spectra and everything else. And I got to use an ultralight Benelli, which is just a gorgeous gun, 20 gauge, and just had a blast out there. Nice. Pun intended, blast. That was just after I said it, I realized it. Okay, so.
I think you were getting ready to spank me and Jimmy.
Okay, yeah. So, but I'll be honest with you, I've caught both species. Okay, it wouldn't be fair to mention only one, so I'll mention that in Alaska, I've been to Alaska maybe four or five times now. My biggest Pacific halibut is 312. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and exactly my
312
goodness.
312 ounces.
Ounces?
Oh,
I said pound. All right, so let me tell you how this went about. And I took my rods up there. You know, it was the first. It was actually on the second trip, and. We hadn't done this. They put the rods on the rail, and you see them bent. You know, so they're bent. They got 5 pound weights on everything down there, downrigger, and the rig is set up by the lodge. Okay, it's almost like a rope, to be quite honest, with two big, huge circle hooks. I would probably say about 9-odd, 10-odd, maybe even 11-odd hooks. Okay, circles, two of them. And then they take salmon, okay, salmon eggs, stomachs, whatever they have left over, and they pour this all thing together in the two hooks, and they drop it down, okay? And so you kind of drift, and then the downriggers, all of a sudden, bop, they go. All right, so when it's my turn, okay, I grab, and the guy says, you know, just leave the rod at the rail, on the rocket launcher and just turn the handle. So I turn the handle, and okay, I got it tight, you know, and it's just taking off. And of course, I what's the natural thing you want to do, Larry? You want to grab the rod?
I already had the rod out of the holder, so.
Well, you try to get the rod out of the holder, yeah. But this fish is pulling so strongly that you can't. Okay, so it takes two of us, okay, the captain and myself, and he's saying, are you really sure you want to do that? Well, that's what drag is for. He goes, are you really sure you want to do that? I go, yeah, give it to me. He goes, okay, so we lift it up over there, he gives it to me, and the minute he lets go, I start literally, I'm moving towards the stern of the boat. I mean, this thing is pulling, and he goes, come here, and he grabs, and he goes, are you sure? And I go, nah, not anymore. So right there in front of me was another rod holder, and you have to do it. And, you know, so this thing comes up, and it's huge. It probably took about good 45 minutes, I would say. I just cranking and running. Finally, he just decided to let me bring him up. He comes up, you know, and this thing is just simply huge. And, in fact, it took the captain, myself, and one of his deckhands to bring him on the boat. And it was, you don't just bring this fish on the boat. You got to wrap the tail. You got to hang him. You got to do it. If you were to put this fish on the boat, he would have sunk us. Okay? We're on probably a 38, 39-foot, what do they call those boats out there? Those aluminum boats. Larry, what's the brand? I just lost the brand and... Anyway, those are aluminum type, you know, with
I don't know. There's cutting. I know one brand of boat is called a Munson. I don't know if that's what you guys had.
I don't remember that's what it was, but it was just a gorgeous boat.
Klamath?
But it, you know,
heavy gauge aluminum.
Heavy gauge aluminum with, you know, a cutty cabin. I mean, a place for you to sit down inside and get out of the elements. And this thing, if we would have put that on deck, it would have just been toast. So, yeah, we hung him up and he was flapping and they're cutting and.
When you say barn door, this was really
the
size of a barn
door. But that wouldn't
door.
Be fair to use as a comparison because, like we said, it's two different species, okay? Unfortunately, the California halibut does not get anywhere near that size. So I'm going to leave you with a little, okay? We'll see, and I'll come back. And when we come back from this break, I'll tell you what my biggest California halibut is. But I will tell you, Danny and I fish a lot alike, so give you that. This is Angler Chronicles on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. We'll be right back.
Good morning, this is Don Brockman coming to you from Davies Locker Sport Fishing and Whale Watching, located in beautiful Newport Harbor in the Balbo Pavilion. We offer daily trips for the beginner all the way up to the experienced angler. We even offer skiff rentals for fishing Newport Harbor. These trips are available daily, including half day, twilight, three-quarter day, and of course overnight trips that will take you to the big game sport fish such as tuna, yellowtail, albacore, that frequent the waters offshore of Newport Beach. We also have a full-service tackle store for all your rental tackle needs, so what are you waiting for, guys? Pick up the phone and call Davies Locker at 949-566-8788 and get your adventure started today. Also, you can look us up on the web at davieslocker.com. Once again, that phone number is 949-566-8788 and tell them that you're calling from Angler Chronicles and receive a 50% off on one of our many trips offered at Davies Locker Sport Fishing. Good fishing.
You know that feeling? The feeling of being skunked on the lake? You're bored, anxious, sleepy, just hoping to get that bite on? What do you do to switch it up? Do you run to the tackle store? Or try to find the guy on the lake who's catching a monster of stringers on trophy fish and ask him what he's using? Because you want to know what a 5, 10, 15, or 20-pound monster or trophy fish feels like. Well, everyone, his secret is out. Bite On Fish Attractants. Simply add Bite-On Liquid Attractant to your baits, lures, jigs, dough baits, and live worms. Log on right now for details on your free bottle of Bite-On. www.anglerbros.com. That's right,
anglerbros.com for details on your free bottle of Bite-On. Available now at Turner's Outdoorsman and your local bait and tackle stores throughout California. Coming soon to Sports Chalet and all the Eastern Sierra bait and tackle stores just in time for this year's trout opener. Bite-On Fish Attractants, the only scent where fish get hooked. Anglerbros.com makes a perfect gift, too.
I am a heroic angler. Everyone on my boat wears a life jacket and hooks their own bait, especially the squishy stuff.
Take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Welcome back, everybody, to Angler Chronicles on Angels Radio, KLAA. All right, before we get going here, I got to make sure that we go back around the table one more time. Just give me the total weight of your halibut. Ron?
Well, I'm the smallest one. 20 pounds.
20?
Got
me beat. 32. Tony? Zero?
I'm going to catch one this year.
Perfect. See, you're not the smallest one.
17.
William, 17?
Thank you, William.
33 pounds, 4 ounces.
33 pounds, 4 ounces. Okay. Well, here's my story. I was on a 38-foot lures. We went to Catalina the night before. We went in the search of white sea bass. Okay, we're a little bit late in the season. We had a live squid. And we go to Catalina, and we tried about 4 or 5 spots all night. Nothing, not a single bite, nothing. I mean, not black sea bass. You know, sometimes you can catch some black sea bass. Nothing, not even bat rays. As the light came up, we said, well, let's see if we can try for some yellows. We had a live squid, nothing. Okay, so I want you guys to think that we started fishing right around 2 o'clock in the morning. It's now 11 o'clock in the morning, and we don't have a single fish on the boat. Okay, granted, we didn't try for some of the other bottom dwellers there, but we were just going for the exotics, nothing. And so captain says, okay, you know, I got one little beach we can try. He goes, if you guys want to catch a big halibut, there's a notable halibut there. And I go, well, gosh, halibut. I'm like Danny shared with us. That's not my type of fishing. I do not go halibut fishing. And all the halibut that I've caught in my lifetime have always been incidental. Okay, and like we talked about the reverse dropper loop earlier, and the reason I want you to talk about that is because the reverse dropper loop is what is my rig of choice for twilight. Okay, it's great for bass. Okay, and because you're so low to the bottom, you get those halibut. It's always been incidental for me. That, you know, I've caught maybe a dozen maybe legal halibut prior to this particular, or throughout my lifetime, because I don't target them. But this particular day, we decided to target them. And we go, and I'm sitting there, and it's perhaps one of the most boring things I'm to do. I mean, here I am on the island on a 38-foot lures. Now, Larry, you're looking at me because you know you got all this firepower in boat and everything, and no white sea bass, no yellowtail. And you knew, and they were there the day before. We had live squid. We had the perfect everything. But there was a mackerel in the bait tank, and I had it with the whole day. I mean, I was frustrated the whole day. Everybody was. We hadn't got a single fish, and we had some great fishermen. So I set up my dropper loop, and I went a little bit heavy. We weren't in very deep water. And I think I was using 8 ounce, maybe a 10 ounce to keep that mackerel down as much as I could. And put it on the rail on clicker. I turned around to go get a Diet Coke, and the clicker starts to go. And I go, oh my goodness, you know. And we were anchored, so we weren't on a drift. That's why I asked you about the drift. So it couldn't be that we were drifting away from the spot and I was in a rock. Nope. I go up to the, grab my rod, and it's pulling. Set the hook. And the fight began. And by the time it was all said and done on the boat, we weighed it on a digital scale,
and it was just shy of 45. 44 and I want to say 44.10, 44.11. Nice. That's where it was. I wish I could tell you it was a lot of fun. It was just a halibut. Okay. It's not something that I'd normally target. And I think the day that we got your fish, we were actually targeting those fish. And I don't have luck with the California halibut, just that one. It was a good fish, but, yeah, I would have rather had white sea bass and yellowtail, personally. They make very good eating, I hear, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very okay. good.
Excellent.
Excellent. How, well, let me ask you, you guys, I mean, you guys eat fish, I don't. How does the California halibut compare to the Pacific halibut for eating? Anybody know?
You know, halibut is a lot different than a lot of fish. There's a lot of fish where the smaller ones uh-huh. are better eating, but with the halibut, the bigger they are, the better they are.
Uh-huh. Is that because of the size of the fillet or the taste itself?
I think it's the grain of the fillet uh-huh. and you know, just the coarseness of the grain.
It's a firmer
yeah.
fish.
Would mm-hmm. they feed on maybe?
Now, I'm going to say I've had both types of halibut,
uh-huh.
and I think that the California halibut is the better of the two.
Is it sweeter taste?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know the California is a lot better in sushi.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got a lot more stuff in it. I mean, more pollutants.
Yeah.
Sergio?
Yeah.
I have a believe it or not halibut story that I can go through real quick for you
go,
guys.
Go, go, go.
Okay.
Go.
I used to do a lot of workboat stuff, tug boats and supply boats and oil spill, marine spill response mm-hmm. stuff. And a lot of these ships that come into our inner harbor, when they're transferring fuel from a barge to the ship, they need a retaining boom around them just as a safety precaution. And so what we would do is we would tow this retaining boom out and we would have it folded several times because we're talking about 2,200 feet of boom. So we would fold it, grab it with a line with a small supply boat and drag it across the harbor out to wherever the operation was taking place. And we would have a small punt or a small aluminum skiff on the tail end of it so that people could see that there was something there. And we're dragging this across the harbor real early in the morning, right at sunup. And what I do is I get out to the ship and then I let go of the line where I was towing, go back to the skiff and put my deckhand in the skiff so that he can do his part from the
mm-hmm.
skiff.
Mm-hmm.
I pull around to the skiff to drop my deckhand off in it, and there's a live, legal-size halibut in the skiff. That we just drug this skiff for 2 miles across the harbor.
So you're saying it came up
nobody,
to the surface and
there was
jumped.
Nobody in that skiff. We drug that thing for an hour across the harbor. I went to let my deckhand Jeff in the skiff, and there's a legal halibut flopping around inside of the skiff.
Dinner.
I was like, hey, we've been trolling the wrong thing all this time. You
there
know?
You go. Okay, so from now on, we got to troll some boats.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a very unique fish. I mean, it lives primarily on the bottom. But as your story shows, I mean, they will come to the top. I imagine more at night probably when you light it up and bait's on the top, they'll come up.
You talk to anybody that's been surfing a lot mm-hmm. around here and there's quite a few occasions where when you're surfing, you'll see them jump out of the water after smelt or something right up in the surf.
Mm-hmm. Anybody ever step on one?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I know I've stepped on a bat ray before, but, a small one. Thank God it was on the wing, not the tail. But, yeah right. I've stepped on one.
So the bait's a choice for halibut, for the guys going out halibut fishing, that's going to be live squid or dead squid?
Well, you know what? I think we all have our favorite ways. I'll just share you mine. If I had my choice of everything to throw at them, I think a big sardine would probably be number one. I would like to have mackerel, okay?
Cut mackerel?
No, live mackerel.
Okay.
Live mackerel. Or, I mean, anchovy. They'll eat anything that's there. I just smelt closer into the bays. You know, I like to use that. What do you think?
I'm gonna speak up here, and this is something that Tony, you and William, you guys, and well, not so much Ron, but you guys are typically freshwater expertise. Okay, match the hatch.
That's right.
Okay, you guys that are freshwater fishermen, you understand that.